some name calling around here. Anybody in here a Gentile?
Yes, I am.
Anybody in here a Jew?
I'm a Jew.
Anybody in here a Greek? What about a barbarian? I don't know, Roger, you look, kind of look like a barbarian to me.
Is that a natural?
Welcome, I'm a barbarian too. Well, you can call names, but you need to know what the names mean so you can get it right, okay? If Rodney and I were somehow transported back to the first century, okay, and we were walking around with Paul and, you know, all those guys, we would be barbarians. Because we don't speak Greek. I guess you don't speak Greek, do you? I don't, you know.
Monahan taught me it.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know Greek. I can't speak Greek. I can't read it. You know, I mean, I can't speak it. I can't hear it. I can't understand it.
What's
a
biblical definition?
Let me tell you the word. These words, when you run into them in the book of Acts, what these words mean, okay? And we can have a better understanding, because when you read the book of Acts, you kind of need to know this, because Acts keeps referring to this. So, a Gentile comes from the Greek word ethnikos, where we get our word ethnic. That word's a big word these days, ethnic, you know. And so, but a Gentile is translated heathen in the King James Version, but it simply means not a Jew. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a king or you're a peasant or lowly slave, you're a Gentile. It's not a bad thing, because you could be the king. All right, so it's not a bad thing. It just means you're not a Jew. Okay? It's just like you may be a man, you're not a woman. You're a Jew, you're not a, you know, you're not a Jew. You know, so Jew or Gentile. Then, but the, you know, you read in Acts, and it also uses the term Greek. Someone's a Greek. You know, we got Jews and we got Greeks. Well, why did he use Gentile? Why did he use Gentile? Well, that's where you come into, again, Greek means not a Jew. All right? It's not a bad thing. It just means you're not a Jew. All right? And the way it's used, Greek also means you're not a Jew, in the way it's used in the book of Acts, okay?
Okay, yes, that's all right. A Jew
in the New Testament, in the book of Acts.
We're doing Acts.
This is Acts. I'm actually doing Acts, okay? And so, I'm trying to set you up for what we're going to be doing today, all right? Okay. So, but especially, it's a Greek-speaking person who is not a Jew. Mm-hmm. Especially that, okay? I'll explain this a little bit more, but I'll go to the other last one I want to give you, word, barbarian. And we think of a barbarian as like a caveman, you know, or somebody, you know, like that. But a barbarian, to Luke, who's writing Acts, to that culture, a barbarian was any foreigner ignorant of the Greek language.
Could it be Jews too?
Well, it could be, but it's very unlikely, because all the Jews knew Greek.
Okay.
All the Jews knew Greek, so it's, you know, if you lived a long area, Alexander the Great conquered, you know, all the known world, and he brought the Greek culture, the Greek language, and that became the official language. So everybody knew Greek all along the Mediterranean shore, you know, and so everybody knew Greek. But if a Chinese person came to that area, he would be considered a barbarian, even though they're very highly cultured. Yeah. Right? They're not your typical barbarian, the Norsemen, you know, Viking come down and beat up people, you know. But you understand, these are the way they're used in the book of Acts, okay? In the book of Acts. So when you're reading through here, you're a barbarian. You know, just think, anybody doesn't know the Greek language.
Okay.
Now that is the tribes north of Italy, okay? Most of those tribes up there, the Norse, you know, the Gauls, all these folks, they didn't know Greek. and they were considered barbarian. They had a very different culture. And the Greeks had a very highly refined civilization, all right? They were highly refined, sophisticated folks, and they spoke well. And they liked to stand in the marketplace and debate, high term, what we talked about last week, you know. They did a lot of debating, discussing, and philosophy and all that.
How did they debate if no one else knew their language?
Well, yeah, right, but these are all Greeks, you know.
That's why I said it's all Greek to me.
Yeah, it's all Greek. You barbarian.
You're right.
You got a point, Ronnie. You got me on that one, okay?
So anyway, when we read through here in Acts, we're going to find this kind of things going on. And so I wanted to read a passage from Romans before I get into Acts. So you'll see these terms being used. Now, when you use these terms, you need to, when you find these terms, you need to kind of see who's talking and who he's talking to, you know, so you understand what the meaning of the term is.
Yeah.
All right? So generally, they're used in pairs, okay? Generally used in pairs. So let me just read this passage so you can kind of catch this, because this goes all the way out throughout the book of Acts. Now, you can get confused because in one place it's talking about Jews and Greeks. Another place it's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Yeah. Well, what's the difference, you see? So let me just read this little passage and you really get confused. No, maybe you'll see what I'm talking about. This is in Romans 1, 13 through 17. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So who's he talking to? He's talking to the Romans. And he says, I want to have some fruit among you just like I've had among the other Gentiles. In other words, you guys are Gentiles.
That's not a Jew, period.
Not a Jew. But they're Romans. They're highly sophisticated. They're, you know, all that. But they're not a Jew. So they're Gentiles. It's, you know. You're not a man, you're a woman. It's not a derogatory thing, it's just that's the way things are. So, verse 14, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. There's those two terms put together. Okay. Both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Now give me the definition of Greek again.
Okay, Greek is not a Jew, but is someone who knows the Greek language.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. All right.
So it's not a nationality in that sense.
No, it's not. It's not a nationality. See, that's another confusion that you'll get. It's not just someone who lives or comes from Greece, okay? Because when Alexander the Great came through, he took that culture all around the Mediterranean, okay? And so everybody spoke Greek. Down in Egypt, they spoke Greek. The Romans spoke Greek. I mean, you know, just everybody, all of the Middle East, and all in what we call now Asia Minor or Turkey, they all spoke Greek, okay? So if you spoke Greek, all right, that's what they're talking about. In fact, the...
But even if you were a Jew and you spoke Greek, you were not a Greek.
Yeah, they make that distinction.
Okay.
They make that distinction.
Okay.
But now, if you're talking about Greek and barbarians, then they're talking about the Jews.
Okay.
Is a Greek. You understand that? So it depends on who they're talking to and what they're saying, all right? So if you pair up Greek and barbarians, then the Jews will be a Greek. Because they know the Greek language.
Well,
y'all confused enough yet? Y'all got all this?
That second comment. I was confused with that.
So, so I just point that out to you because in Acts, we find the acts or the deeds or the works of the apostles. That's the title of it, Acts of the Apostles, right? Now, I'm not talking about an Acts. I'm talking about what they did. Well, what did they do? What did they do? What did the apostles do? So we read through Acts, we're going to find several things that we find that the apostles did. All right? Let's just look at Acts 1:8. He says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So we're talking about here reaching out, starting in Jerusalem, all Judea. We're still talking about Jews, aren't we? Then going into Samaria. Whoa. Now these are kind of different folk here. They're kind of a gray area. All right? They're like the half-breeds. You know, they're half Jews and half Gentiles. I don't know what, you know, they had, you know, to a lot of Jews, you had Jews, you had Gentiles, and then you had Samaritans. You know. And they avoided Samaritans at all costs. You know, they get along better with Gentiles than they do Samaritans. So anyway.
At what point did the Jews leave the Hebrew language and convert to using the Greek language?
They didn't really leave so much the Hebrew language and the Aramaic, but they learned Greek. It's not like we are here.
My language.
Yeah, we learn English. That's it, right?
Yeah.
But there. And in that area, if you spoke Egyptian, all right, then you also learned Greek. So you were bilingual, okay? You had two languages, all right? And so most of the world there, except for the Greeks, they learned two languages. They could speak Aramaic, all right, and they could speak Greek. In fact, they could all, you know, the men learned Hebrew. So they had three languages that they learned. So when you learn them when you're young, it's a lot easier. So a lot of the world spoke more than one language. Okay? And we find this at the day of Pentecost. You know, you got men from, says, "There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." All right? And so when they, of course, they heard about the, you know, what was going on with the Holy Spirit falling on the people. And it says, "When thou, this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Okay? So you had Jews that had come to Jerusalem from other parts of the country. They had their own languages in that country that they had learned because they lived there and had to do business, you know. So if they were over in Ethiopia, they had to learn that language. I don't know exactly what it was. But he had to learn that language. Then he had to learn Greek, because that was a diplomatic language. Everybody knew Greek. But then he also learned Hebrew because he was a Jew. Things were complicated back then, weren't they?
Do you think God uses English now because of the United States is his chosen land to get the gospel out? Because think about it. How many countries' officials and all of them speak English?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's his language he uses now is English.
I think it was what, 200, 300 years ago, the language of diplomacy was French. If y'all remember that from your social studies, everybody spoke French. So when Benjamin Franklin, for example, went over to Paris, he spoke French. And when you had envoys and ambassadors, they all spoke French, because that was what you used when you talked country to country. Everybody knew French, all right? Whatever. Today it seems to be English, you know. And I don't know if that's a good thing, looking at our language, it's so messed up. It's so hard to learn, you know.
And we say, this is the hardest language, because yeah, we have so many different little sayings that we say, you know, that can mean the same thing. Like I can say, oh, that's bad. But really, I'm trying to tell you, it's good. You know, they use so much slang language, yes, and this and that, and so it makes it difficult.
Well, we take our language from French. We take it from a bunch of countries.
Sure.
It's not just,
yeah, it's a hodgepodge.
A lot of our words are French words. Or,
sure.
Yeah, Roman words.
Spanish words. We take Greek words. Mm-hmm. You know.
See, some country has one word can mean just one thing, but our one word. See, the dictionary don't tell you the meaning of a word. You tell the dictionary the meaning,
exactly,
of a word. It has so many meanings. You pick out the one that you want from that one little word, you know. So it does make our language a lot difficult in trying to learn.
But I feel God chose it. I mean, that's the part of it right now. I mean, it's not going to be, I don't know what will speak later on, but right now, I think because he created this nation to get the gospel out and to be a light on a hill.
Yes.
And he's given it to us. That's why I don't think this nation's not going to be messed up until the church leaves. I mean, we got some problems, but we got the power here. But when we leave, boy, there's going to be chaos. That's why this country's not even in the end time, really, that much.
You put your finger on it, Mary. You put your finger on it. We got the power here. We got the power here. And I'll go back to what happened in Acts. It says, if you could read through Acts, and we'll have to finish up today, but if you read through Acts, you'll find that Paul and the other apostles always brought the word with power.
Yeah.
The word was accompanied by power.
Yeah.
Paul says, I didn't come to you just speaking words of wisdom.
Yes.
All right? Manly wisdom. But I came in the spirit and in the power. Okay? So I think what you're saying is you put your finger on it. We need to have the power with the word.
Yeah.
All right? Peter, when he raised people up, you know, the lame man at the gate of the temple. All right. When Philip was going around in Samaria, he was doing miracles. Of course, everywhere Paul went, he was doing miracles, casting out demons, doing all these things.
Yeah.
And in one place, he and Barnabas was in a place, and Paul healed somebody, and they all thought they were gods. It gets the attention of the Gentiles. It gets the attention of those who aren't saved. And it's like, I better listen to these folks. They got something important to say. These guys come from God. They got God's ear. You know, and that's what people need to see when they see us. Talking about salt earlier. We need to be that salt.
Amen.
Wow. These people, they got the salt. These people have got the Spirit of God in them. We need to listen to them. We need to walk in power. We need to really grasp hold of that power. We need the balance.
Yes. Yeah.
The balance of the word and power, the power of God, the word of God and the power of God. The word of God, the spirit of God, because the spirit is power, right? We do things by what? By the spirit, because we don't do it ourselves. We don't have any power in ourselves. It's the spirit of God. Amen. Okay, Thurston, come on. All right.